the stresses of banking.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We could get word today from the government about which of the big banks will be able to repay bailout funds. You know, the money given to some of the nation's banks to help them through the worst of the financial crisis. Elizabeth Warren heads up the government panel watching over TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, and she'll be in front of Congress later today. They released a report today on the bank stress tests done earlier this year. Ashley Milne-Tite joins us live from New York. Morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
So apparently we haven't seen the last of these tests.
We may not have done. For one thing, this new report from the Congressional Oversight Panel recommends that any banks that continue to be stuck with a lot of toxic assets should keep undergoing these tests periodically to make sure they're still financially sound. And the report also says with the rising unemployment rate, it could make sense for all the banks to have to redo their tests. And that's because when regulators devised the test, they had to come up with a sort of worst case scenario, economic scenario, under which the banks would still be okay. And in their worst case scenario for this year, unemployment was at 8.9%. With May's unemployment numbers, that's already pushed the average unemployment rate for this year to 8.5%. So the panel basically says if it gets much higher, banks should resit their tests.
So does this mean we're going to throw all this other stuff out and the panel thinks the original round was useless?
No. Actually, the panel says it found the stress test findings conservative and reasonable and actually praises the Federal Reserve Board for releasing a lot of information about the banks. But it says still the methodology isn't transparent enough. I mean, ideally, the panel would like outsiders, people like analysts, to be able to know enough about the methodology so they themselves could run their own tests and arrive at the same results.
All right. Ashley Milne-Tite joining us live from New York. Ashley, thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Italy's Fiat said today it will not abandon its deal with Chrysler for now. That's after the U.S. Supreme Court granted a stay on the sale. Now, Fiat could back out of the deal if it's not done by Monday. The Supreme Court is looking at challenges to that sale. Mixed bag of slim pickings on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P and NASDAQ had slight losses. The Dow managed back to where it started and added a point. It closed at 87.64. Asian shares were mixed. Shares in Europe pretty much flat right now. A couple of Spanish language media titans meet today in federal court. Televisa and Univision are battling over who gets to distribute Televisa's popular telenovelas online. From the America's Desk at WLRN in Miami, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Go to the YouTube video sharing site and type in the name of Televisa's blockbuster telenovela, Cuidado con el Ángel. You'll find hundreds of video clips from the show, many with the theme song, Solo Tú. But the clips are all pirated. Televisa produces the show, but Univision has exclusive rights to broadcast it on U.S. television. Televisa currently streams the show on its website in Mexico, but U.S. users trying to access the videos are blocked. Now a judge will decide which company gets to distribute the telenovelas online and to cell phones. Cynthia Corzo is with Hispanic Market Weekly.
For Televisa, if Univision has the right to the online content, they lose any ad revenue.
Corzo says tens of millions in digital ad revenue could be at stake in the dispute. U.S. District Judge Philip Gutierrez will decide the issue. He'll say whether a 1992 distribution deal meant for television should also apply to the Internet. He's expected to rule later this summer. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by ConAgra Foods, the people behind brands like Marie Callender's, Hunt's, and Ready Whip. More at conagrafoods.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
While Congress this week mulls over providing incentives for purchasing more fuel-efficient cars, we're seeing a new generation of eco-friendly vehicles being marketed. Toyota's got a new plug-in Prius that's coming out later in the year. Other car makers have their own versions, too. But what kind of appeal will these cars really have? From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Jennifer Collins.
Edward Kerr wants to introduce you to something greener than your average hybrid.
This is the Ford plug-in hybrid escape.
Care works for Southern California Edison, testing electric vehicles. Conventional hybrids run on both electricity and gas. This plug-in can go further on its electric motor.
Here we are, nice and smooth. Now we're up to about 30 miles an hour. Still electric.
In a conventional hybrid, the gas eventually has to kick in to recharge the battery. But in a plug-in hybrid, you recharge the battery by connecting the car to the grid.
What plug-in hybrid technology is doing is it's really going to start to unlock the true potential of hybridization. The gas hybrid gets it to a certain point. The plug will take it to the next level.
So the car will be able to run at higher speeds for longer periods on pure electricity. James Frankfurt tracks plug-in hybrids at the Department of Energy.
We've demonstrated the potential to get 100, 200, 300, up to 400 miles per gallon, depending on how the vehicle's driven.
Trouble is, in early tests, Frankfurt found plug-in hybrids weren't necessarily getting much better gas mileage than conventional hybrids. Paul Scott of Plug-in America says it's all about teaching consumers how to drive the cars.
You have to obviously charge the batteries.
Some test drivers weren't, and that meant the cars relied more on gas. And gunning the engine does the same thing. So if the cars are sold without any thought to consumer training...
Well, in that case, then people might not buy them.
But if consumers are properly educated, Ed Kerr says drivers could change their priorities.
Our parents, you know, it was all about miles per minute. Now it's all about miles per gallon. So it's all about how do you squeeze more and more and more efficiency out of the system.
That may depend on how efficient the auto industry is at teaching consumers a new way of driving. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
You can plug into our website and share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. It is electrifying. Sorry. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.